You continue to have your way in the service on today. God, I know what I planned in my personal study time with you, but God, my desire is that you are glorified in all things and in all times. So I pray even now, God, that you decrease tomorrow and you increase your Holy Spirit. Continue, Lord God, to allow your Spirit to rest, rule, and abide in this place. God, even as I continue forward in worship, Lord God, whatever it is that you need to do in the lives of your people, that is what I desire, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, I will not interrupt what you are doing, so give me sensitive ears to hear you, that whatever I planned, that I give way to your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Because your purpose, your plan, is what's most important to me. So God, I thank you. God, I pray that as I prepare to preach the word that you've given me, Lord God, that we continue to cultivate our hearts and minds, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we will receive it in the spirit that it was sent, that it will be preached with power, persuasion, and clarity, Lord God. Whatever it is that you desire to do through this word, I pray that you do. I pray it will not return to you, Lord. And I pray, God, that your people are edified, that I'm sanctified, and that you're glorified through the preaching of this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when the Spirit of the Lord shows up and begins doing some things, and I know we may not be mighty in number, but that doesn't mean we're not mighty in sound. So what I say, let us give God praise. Hallelujah. I expect at least somebody to say, hallelujah, God bless your name. I expect somebody to at least clap their hand. And I'm not asking for you to do it because I'm standing behind this desk, but I'm asking it because you got the ability to hear my voice, so that means God touched you on this morning. I'm asking because you walked into this building on this morning, and that means hallelujah, that the Lord touched you on this morning. I'm asking because if you open your mouth and a sound escapes it, that means breath is still in your body, so you ought to be able to give them praise. I ask you because if you open your mouth and you can formulate a word, that means you still have active use of your vocal cords. So give God praise. Hallelujah. For he is worthy of the praise. He is worthy. We all know, everybody in this room may not know what he brought you through, but you know what he brought you through. You know he brought you through all kinds of hell. You know he brought you through sickness. You know he brought you through heartache. You know he brought you through the times you didn't think you were going to make it out. You know he brought you through the times when you didn't want to make it out. You know what the Father has done for you. So, Father, we say hallelujah, and we bless your name. Hallelujah. You know what he did for you, even in this moment, even for those that are online. You know what the Lord is stirring up, even in your belly, in your house. So open up your mouth, even in your house, and give God praise. Hallelujah. It don't matter that you're not in a sanctuary. You are connected to us, so you are accounted as two or three that are gathered. So you ought to be able to say hallelujah, Father, and thank you for all that you've done. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to your name, God.
Yes,
Lord. Glory to your name, God.
Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to your name,
God.
Hallelujah.
God, I thank
you. Hallelujah, God. Continue to break.
Yes.
Yes.
I really want to move from here, but.
Yes, God, we thank you.
Continue to break it, Father. Continue to break it, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Break it right now, God.
Continue to break it,
in
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Jesus. Have your way, God. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Continue to break it, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to be dealing with the entirety of the rest of 2 Kings as we pick up from where we were last Sunday.
Yes.
Last Sunday, we dealt with 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. This week, we're going to deal with 2 Kings 5, 15 through 27. But I'm only going to read three portions of scripture that I want you to focus on as I continue to unpack this story of Naaman, Elisha, and Gehazi. So verse 15 says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his deeds, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. Verse 22 says, and he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. 27, therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence, leprous as white as snow. You may have your seats in the building. So the few moments, however long it takes, if we get through it on today, I want to talk about the chronicles of convictions, connivers, and consequences. The chronicles of convictions, connivers, and consequences. Help me, Father. So we get to this particular portion of text as we went through the first half on last week, and we're introduced to this man, this powerful man named Naaman, who has power but is afflicted because he is the king's right-hand man, but he also has leprosy, a condition that should cause him, I said it last week, so I'm not going to give too much a recap. If you missed it last week, you can go onto the Abundant Hope Christian Center page on Facebook, YouTube, or the website and catch last week's sermon. Amen. So I'll give you a little bit, but the rest of it, find page and get to it. So Naaman is this man of power and prestige, but he's afflicted, and really he shouldn't have been still a right-hand man, because technically he shouldn't have been in anybody's presence with leprosy, because they were technically determined unclean. But here it is, he was still in power, he was still in position, and but he was looking for a healing. And one of his little slave servant girls said, who was from Israel, said, hey, if you would just go to the prophet, I'm sure that he would heal you. And he goes to the prophet Elisha, and Elisha has the audacity not to even come out of his house, but he sends out some servants and he tells him, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Naaman gets beside himself because he feels like the water of Israel is dirty. How you gonna tell me to go dip in something dirty? And I'm already dirty and I'm trying to get clean. Just a quick recap. And so he has attitude and he's like, nah, I'm not gonna be able to do that. And then his other servants come and say to him, well, if the prophet had told you to do something great and grand, wouldn't you do it? Yeah, well, how simple is it? Didn't just go dip in the water. So he finally, after rebuke, operates in the instructions that he operates in the instructions that he was originally given, and he goes and he dips and he gets his deliverance and his healing. That's what we dealt with last week in the unexpected emancipation of Naaman, because we surmised that it wasn't just the leprosy that needed to be healed. He needed to be healed and delivered from his pride. So on today, we continue in the story, and we happen upon verse 15. After he went and dipped the 7 times in the Jordan, according, it says in verse 14, to the saying of the man of God in his flesh, and we talked about this last week, was not only restored, but it was renewed. He received a double blessing from finally operating in the instruction. And after he received what it was he was in need of, it says in 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth. He said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth. Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Because you got to understand, they were previously operating and worshiping pagan gods. But when I was reading this, Elder, it messed with some of our traditional theology, because I read it and I said, he got healed, then he believed. He got healed, then he believed. He got healed, then he believed. Let me help somebody out. People don't have to work on them. No, sometimes God wants to do it the other way. Sometimes God wants to extend his hand to people so that his hand will lead them to his heart and then it can lead to salvation. But we got it messed up. No, you got to come and join first. No, you got to see, you got to believe in Jesus. I'm not going to release the blessing of God to you until you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You may very well be my brother or sister out of order. How do you know God doesn't want to heal them first? How do you know God doesn't want to restore them first? How do you know that God doesn't want to heal the marriage first? How do you know he don't want to turn that child around first? How do you know the order in which God wants to work in somebody's life? How dare we withhold blessings and miracles from people because they don't believe in Jesus Christ right now? It very well may be that they need to see the manifestation before they accept the Messiah. It says, and he returned to the man of God. Watch this. He and all his eat. Let me ask. The last time God did something for you, where did you go? Did you return to him?
Or did you return to your old ways? Did you return to God, or did you return to your old ways?
It says, once he got his healing, he returned to the one who gave word, and the one God used for his healing. I don't know, I didn't touch the body, I don't know why I did. He returned to the man of God. He received. Then he returned. Some of us receive, and instead of returning to God, we return to our old ways. It's like, thank you, God. All right, girl, let me tell you what we came to do. What? Okay, thank you for healing me. Let me go back out here and do what I like to do. No, God didn't heal you for you to return, for you to return to your old ways. Oh, Jesus. Church. God did not keep us and heal us through the pandemic for us to return to our old, stink, stagnant, traditional ways. He did.
Right. Talk about it.
Some of us, when the doors of the church open, we return right back to those traditional things and still left God out. You mean to tell me after 2.5 years of being closed out, some of us being closed out of the church, when we got back, we didn't have enough sense to stop saying, I want things to be normal. Normal was broken. Normal was stagnant. Normal was stink. Normal in the church was a stench in the nostrils of God. And he cleaned out the house. And he cleansed the house. And we had the audacity to bring our dirt back in the house. Still preaching and laying with people where it's supposed to be. Still preaching and flying on folk. Still preaching and stealing. Preaching and cheating. Preaching and whoremongering. Preaching and drinking. Preaching and drugging. And we wonder why there's still no power manifesting in a greater way. Because we tried to bring normal when God wanted clean.
Wow.
He received and he returned to the place, to the person that God used for his healing. Watch this though. It says he and all his eat. When you receive what you need from God, when you go back, who else are you bringing with you?
Yes, right.
Oh, or do you keep your mouth closed and allow your testimony to stay with you?
Yes.
Are you too afraid to be honest about what you've been through?
My God.
Are you too afraid for people to see that you were wrong about what you previously declared and that now you understand that it was the true and living God that kept you? Because again, they worshiped idol gods. And it says he returned and he brought some for who you bring it back to God with you? Are you comfortable in these siloed sections of salvation that you trying to hoard God and Christ for yourself?
Right, stop hoarding it. I'm hoarding all that in part.
Salvation is not yours
right.
to hoard.
Right.
Salvation is yours to share.
Yes.
That's what the commission is. But you can't give the commission if you tight-lipped.
Why are you tight-lipped still? Why are you tight-lipped?
Because sometimes the deliverance people need is not just the scripture, it's your testimony.
Yes. Talk. Yes. Yes.
People need to know that God is a mind regulator. But sometimes you need to let them know how you know God is a mind regulator.
Right.
We're in a season where how we used to do church, we can't keep doing it that way.
No.
Oh, we're just going to give them the scripture, and we're just going to pray. These people out here are dying. Physical and spiritual deaths every day. They need more than the pontification of you giving them scriptures. They need a testimony. And even if you're not at a place where you can give them the testimony, at least bring them to the place, to the God that did it for you.
Right.
Because it wasn't until he was healed in an unexpected place, in an unexpected way, that he was able to declare, indeed, now I know. And some of us have an indeed, now I know testimony that there is no God greater than the God that we serve. Help me, Jesus. Indeed, now I know. Now that I've dipped myself in these waters 7 times and I've got restored and renewed, indeed, now I know. Indeed, now I know that after getting pregnant at a young age and the church throwing me out and people discarding me, that God still anointed and appointed me for his great work because he kept me even when I didn't want to be kept. Indeed, now I know. Indeed, now I know in the midst of that domestic violent relationship that God was keeping my mind and I wasn't drugged out and I wasn't strung out on drugs or strung out on people or strung out on alcohol, but he kept me. Indeed, now I know. Indeed, now I know when I opened my eyes in that hospital after trying to take my own life that it was the spirit of the living God that kept me. Indeed, now I know. Indeed, now I know when people turned their back on me because I tried to get closer to the Lord and they tried to call me a fraud and tried to say I was only doing it for fame, but then it kicked me out, but God picked me up. Indeed, now I know.
Yeah.
Now I don't know what your indeed now I know
my
is,
God.
But in case you didn't think or in case you thought those were just stories I was throwing out there, those were Tamara's indeed now I know.
Jesus.
I was in each and every one of those situations, not
my
once,
God.
But multiple times. But indeed, now I know that the God I serve is a healer, because I don't have to be bitter. He made me better. Indeed, now I know that God is my healer, and I'm not crazy and out of my mind, but I got the spirit of a sound mind, and I have knowledge and wisdom from the Lord. Indeed, now I know, and since now I know, I'm here to help everybody else know. There is a man named Jesus that can heal you of every affliction. There is a man named Jesus that can deliver you from every stronghold. There is a man named Jesus that can relieve you of every affliction. There is indeed now a man named Jesus that is concerned about your every problem. There is indeed now a man named Jesus that can deliver you from every sin. There is indeed a man named Jesus that can provide your every need. There is indeed now a man named Jesus that can uphold you with his mighty righteous right hand. There is indeed now a man named Jesus who is your very shelter in a time of storm. There is indeed now a man named Jesus that can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. There is indeed now a man.
Now I know.
Somebody say, now I know.
Now I know.
I didn't get it then, but now I know.
Now I know.
I didn't get it then, but
now
I know.
Yes, God.
Because I know, I want to make sure you know.
Yes,
and then he says, so again, the title of the sermon is, the chronicles or the stories of conviction, connivance, and consequences. So the story of conviction is that when Jesus heals you, don't keep the testimony of the healing to yourself, but also allow the healing to lead you to surrender and trust in the true and living God. Because he came in an afflicted pagan, but he left a righteous man. You may have come in this morning, you may have dialed in on this line today, an afflicted pagan. But if you meet a man named Jesus, you can leave this place a righteous man, a woman of God. And it says, now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But Elisha said, that's who he is in 16. As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. As the Lord lives before whom I stand, receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Being used by God to perform miracles on behalf of the people does not mandate God to bless you financially.
Listen here.
Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with people sowing a seed into the lives of God's people, because the Bible even teaches us that a workman is worthy of his hire. So we do believe in the principle of sowing. However, there's a difference between sowing and mandating.
Right.
We should never mandate people give for the manifestation.
Okay. Say it.
And if we look at the text, Elisha didn't demand a blessing before he released the miracle.
Okay. Come on.
Say that again. I don't like it.
It's all right.
Stop demanding a blessing before you release what God told you to.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. It ain't your miracle. It ain't your word. It ain't your power. It ain't your anointing. It ain't yours. It's God's. We are lucky enough to be counted worthy enough or trustworthy, because we ain't worthy. We will never be worthy. But he entrusted us to play part in what he wants to do in this earth realm. So really, the only blessing that you deserve is the fact that he trusted to use you as a conduit to deliver what he gave. But how dare we mandate people to grease our palms because God used us. If it hadn't been for the Lord that gave you that word, you wouldn't have known nothing, no way. If it hadn't been for the Lord putting that healing in your hand, because it wasn't your hand. He can use any hand. He can use these babies in here right now to be a blessing to somebody. You are not what's worthy. It's God.
Yes.
We just vessels. And he said, no, I don't want it. It's all right. We got to be content as vessels that God used, to be content with knowing God's going to take care of us. You don't have to. And here's the thing. He wanted, I believe Elisha refused so that Naaman wouldn't be able to say anything about Elisha.
Right. Okay.
Because all the glory was for the Lord. And sometimes God doesn't want us to receive because he doesn't want us to think that we really had anything to do with it. And he doesn't want people to put us on the same level of equation with God. We're not God. We're vessels of God. So Naaman says, all right, you're not going to take my money. And y'all know I operate in the TVB version. So now I'm going to paraphrase this. This is why I say read the Bible for yourself so you can get the actual wording. But I'm going to give you my wording for the sake of this sermon. Naaman's like, all right, cool. If you're not going to give it to me, if you're not going to take it from me, at least give me some earth. So, because he's made a determination. Naaman now, because of his healing and his knowledge, has made a determination. Because of his healing and his knowledge of God, he's made a determination to turn from those things that was a normal practice before he got there. Let me say it again. Y'all can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody should have caught that a little bit better in their spirit. Because of what God has done for you, and because of who you now know God is for you, there's some things you need to turn away from. He said, for your servant will no longer. It wasn't no long, drawn-out discussion. He didn't sit there and have no teaching session with Elisha to say, well, now how do I serve? What do I do next? How do I operate now? Nope, he got what he needed. He knew who gave it to him. And then he made a determination. And some of us have blockage. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of us have blockage in our lives because we receive, we understand, but we have yet to make a determination. And watch this. We have made partial determination instead of full determination. We return from some things, but not all things, and wondering why the full power of God is not manifesting in our life. It's not because the power of God is voided. It's because there's still some things that's present that you were supposed to turn from that you're still sitting there playing with.
Woo, my God.
God is like, no. You're going to serve me in full. I know what some of the people that proclaim and profess me, I know what they're doing.
Oh.
But I say for you to serve me in full. I know that they have deemed that an acceptable way of living, but I told you it was unholy and righteous in my sight. Turn from that stuff. He said, I ain't going to serve him no more, but you got to understand, because of who I serve, you know, when he go in the temple, he going to make me go in there with him. But I might bow in posture, but I ain't bowing in my heart. So I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to pardon me. Forgive me for that thing. Because it's a thing that I can't help but do, but my heart ain't in it. And listen to what Elisha says. He says, go in peace. Real simple response. Go in peace. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, because some of us feel like, well, God, when I go back to the job, or, you know the status of this relationship or this connection, God, and there are some things that I can't change immediately, but in my heart, God. There are some things that's going to require a little bit more work for me to get away from it, God. But my heart is sold out for you. Can I tell somebody this morning? Go in peace. Some of those bondages and yokes, some of those chains, not going to break immediately, but you can still go in peace. You don't have to be tormented by what's present about your past. Go in peace.
Go in peace. Wow.
You don't have to be tormented by the presence of other people that don't understand the change that you have now done in your life, and you're still asking and requiring you to act like the old you, be the new you, even if you got to do it quietly in their presence, but go in peace. Go in peace. Verse 20, but Gehazi. So here we get to the connivers. So we talked about the convictions. Let's talk about the connivers. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver and two bags with two changes of garments and handed them to two of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. This is what connivers do in the present. This is the warning that God gave me for us. Don't chase illegitimate gain because you feel like you were slighted. Don't chase illegitimate gain because you feel like you were slighted. And that's not just in money. It's in relationships. It's in jobs. It's in connections. Some of us chase things illegitimately because we feel like what we had or what we did, what we received or didn't receive, was unfair. And here's the danger. When we chase things illegitimately, we get other people caught up in our nonsense. Look at the text. The text says, Naaman offered Elisha, who is the one that actually God gave the instruction for the miracle to be performed in the life of Naaman.
Right.
Gehazi didn't do nothing. He wasn't included in this equation. God didn't speak a word to him. God didn't use him in any shape, fashion, or form. But because he was connected to the man of God, and he felt like Elisha should have got something out of it. You won't let them get away scot-free. You're not going to take nothing because Gehazi let his greed get the best of him. He went and became a conniver in the presence of his master and God. He lied to Naaman and he lied on other people, two men from the province. Ain't nobody come to you and told you nothing. You had a conversation with yourself and yourself said, I think that's a good idea. So how are we going to tell Naaman? Well, we're going to tell Naaman that the prophet said to other people. How many times has some of us lied on God, lied on what we were supposed to be doing, and then incorporated other people in our lives and then got mad when we got uncovered? What has your greed, your fear, your doubt, or your insecurities caused you to chase illegitimately? May I ask the question again? What has your greed, your fear, your insecurities, your doubts caused you to chase illegitimately? And then he had the dumb audacity to be cheap. He didn't even have enough sense to ask for stuff of great substance. 2 talents of silver and 2 garments. Oh, Jesus, help me. Some of us have exchanged our position for cheap possessions.
Exchange your, oh my God.
That's what I just heard the Lord say. Because of our greed, because of our fear, because of our doubt, because of our insecurity, some of us, we have exchanged for the anointed place that God has put us next to some people and in some situations and in some assignments where we have full authority and anonymity to be exactly who God called us to be and to be connected to greatness. But because we let ourselves get besides ourselves, because we had some illegitimate conversations in our minds, we started chasing some illegitimate possessions, and it causes us to forfeit our position that God has given to us, and we have exchanged our godly position for cheap possessions. I want to tell the babies to close their ears. Y'all close your ears real quick. Close your ears. Close your ears. Not you, y'all three. Some of us have exchanged our godly positions in God for people we were with that wasn't even worth being with in the first place. I cleaned it up. I did the best I could. I know they're not hearing me anyway, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Can't, y'all know God be making me. I've been tempted for what? I went outside and had a good time and it wasn't even worth being out here, and I forfeited some stuff God had for me. Y'all ain't gotta tell the truth. I tell my own truth. Forfeited. Exchange position for cheap possessions.
Wow.
Instead of going to God for comfort, going into the bottle, or going into that needle, or going into that bed, we changed our position in God for cheap possessions.
Yeah.
And then we incorporated innocent people in our junk. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Some of us, even right now, still have some cheap stuff in our possession. Cheap connections, cheap relationships, cheap jobs, cheap friendships. Cheap jewelry, cheap, just cheap. Everything is cheap. Because you place value on it because you weren't content with God. You weren't content just being a vessel. You had a conversation within yourself. At least I should have this for everything that I went through. Not understanding that the greatest thing you could have walked away with was your peace of mind.
Right,
right.
Peace of mind. I love you, but it's cheap.
It looked value because all the numbers.
Ooh.
But it's a cheap possession that's keeping you in bondage. Get rid of that cheap possession. You got what you needed with your peace. Get rid of your cheap possessions. Some of our cheap possessions are external things. I
promise you're not doing none to this money.
Some of the cheap possessions are external things. Y'all can uncover your ears, babies. I'm sorry. You can put your arm. You can put your hands up. Put your hands up. Some of the cheap possessions is not external. It's internal.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have characteristics and defensive mechanisms and ways that has cheapened our... Cheapen our ability to receive and walk with the anointing the appropriate way. Jesus. Because we've cheapened the value of what God has given us because of who hurt us. So you won't walk in that gift because you're still defensive. And if I let these walls down, God, and let too many people get close, they might take advantage of me like them old folk did. God is like, hey, I got you though. Don't keep in my gift because you've been hurt. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He exchanged his position for cheap gifts. And so it says, when he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Now when he went in and stood before his master, Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi?
Oh.
And he said, your servant didn't go anywhere.
Oh, wow.
Then he said to him, did my heart turn back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, all olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female? He went and stood before his master, and his master said, "Where did you go?" And he said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." "Where did you go? I ain't leaving the house. I go to where? What you asking me where I went? Where I went?" Here's what we don't understand. Because in this example, Gehazi represents us, and Elisha represents the omnipresence of God.
Yep.
He said, "Where you go? I ain't go nowhere. But didn't my heart go with you?" Because when you're connected to God, when you believe in Christ, we believe that we have the impartation of the Holy Spirit. That means Holy Spirit is always with us wherever we go. So how dumb did Gehazi look, knowing how powerful and anointed and how much insight and discernment God had given Elijah? He knew. He was the one that was with Elijah when Elijah performed these miracles. He was the one that saw God work miracles through Elijah. He is the one that knew Elijah had great communication and conversation with God, and there was almost nothing God kept hidden from Elijah. He knew. Just like we know, when we go places we don't have no business being, when we talk about things we have no business talking about, God knows. How foolish is it to go before your master and that master ask you a reflective question and you lie in his face? Elisha didn't ask him because he didn't know. Elisha asked him to see if he would tell him the truth. Just like us, when we get before God in prayer, God brings certain things to us. God isn't asking us because he doesn't know. He knows all things. He's asking us to see if we'll be honest enough to tell the truth. And I just want to help somebody today. You're not doing yourself or God a favor by lying to God. Actually, you're putting yourself in a position to lose out, because when God asks you a question, when God gives you an instruction, when God tells you to do something, he's not doing it or saying it just because. It's because he already knows. He said, "Did not my heart go with you?" This is how much discernment God gave Elisha. Elisha was not there, but the Lord allowed the full scenario to play out in front of Elisha's face. Don't you know that every scenario we find ourselves in, God sees the full scenario? Were you with so-and-so? No. What? Did you say X, Y? No, God, I would never. What? You know, I was right there. There's no place. And see, we like to quote scriptures when it works for our benefit, because it was, there's no place that I could go that the presence of the Spirit of the Lord isn't with me. So, you know, because when we're going through stuff, we're like, the Spirit of the Lord is with me. So I might be going through it, but the Spirit of the Lord is with me. But you do understand that the same Spirit is with you when you're doing things and being places you ain't got no business being. So when he asks you what you're doing, don't waste your breath lying to the master. He said, "Is it time for that right now?" I don't know why God keeps having me say that, but it's some stuff that we receive before it's time.
Whoa. Wow. Wow.
And we're wondering why we're fumbling with some stuff. And it's not that it's not for you. It's just not his time. And this is the problem when you try to connive God. When you try to connive God, you deal with consequences that were never intended for you. When you allow greed, fear, doubt, insecurities, whatever it is, to push you out of position and exchange your position for possessions, you wind up dealing with consequences that were never intended for you. It's better to walk in the convictions of the Lord to be a conniver of your in your flesh. Because had Gehazi just followed the instruction of his master and not tried to receive or go after illegitimate gain, he would have never had to deal with something God did not have for him. I'm going to say that again. If Gehazi wouldn't have allowed his flesh to cause him to go against the will of his master, he would have never been in a position to receive some things he wasn't capable of handling. And I don't know who I'm talking to right now in this building, but there are some things that are frustrating the very life out of you. There are some things that you are dealing with. There are some relationships that you're struggling with. There are some situations that are that you're just struggling with that is stagnating you. And you're like, God, why am I dealing with this? And God is saying, because you didn't stay with what your master originated for this season, for this time, and you went after some things illegitimately because you felt like that's what you deserved, you felt like that's what you needed, you felt like that you deserved it, you felt like you wanted it, you got it, and then you facing some consequences. Some of the stuff that you're dealing with right now is not because of the enemy, it's because you have some illegitimate things in your possession, and now you got to deal with the consequences. And here's what's worse, it's consequences of stuff God never intended for you to have. God did not intend for Gehazi to have leprosy, because if he had intended for him to have leprosy, they all would have got leprosy when they came in contact with Naaman in the first place.
Okay, wow.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because again, leprosy was a very contagious disease. So nowhere in this entire story does it say when Naaman came in contact with the prophet and the people that they caught the leprosy that was on him before he was healed. So that meant that what he dealt with, God protected them from, even though he was in their presence. Hallelujah. But because Gehazi let his greed get the best of him and he went after some things that Naaman had illegitimately, Lord help us today. Some of us have received a transfer because we went and got illegitimate things from illegitimate people, and what was on them is now on us. And then he lied. I ain't going away. I ain't got nothing. What you talking about? Olive groves and being out there? I didn't do nothing.
Right. What?
But you did.
What?
You connived. You lied. You incorporated people. And I know this ain't a good shouting word for us this morning. That's all right. We're going to keep taking our lickings together.
That's all right.
But some of us need to know that there are some things right now, today, that you need to get rid of. You need to loose. Because you stored them away. That's what Gehazi did. Because he was conniving. I'm going to go lie to Naaman and I'm going to hide it from my master.
Right.
Let me help y'all. Y'all can't hide nothing from God. I don't care where you stored it. I don't care how far back in your memory you tried to store it. God knows. I don't care how deep down in your heart you tried to hide some things. God knows. Don't try to connive God or people, because then you may deal with the consequences of some things that God didn't design Gehazi to have leprosy. But because he lied to his master and he changed his position for illegitimate possessions, he got something incurable. That transcended down to his descendants. Look at the contradiction in the text. Naaman came in a pagan afflicted, and Gehazi was a righteous freedman.
Oh.
But by the time we get to the end of the text, Naaman is a righteous free man, and Gehazi is afflicted. People of God, whatever God allows you to do throughout the course of your life, make sure that you don't allow your flesh or the enemy to talk to you or to trick you to exchange some things and causes the destruction of your life so much so that you are no longer who you used to be in God. Hazel was Elisha's servant, connected to the power source that God had given for that time. But because of his greed, he went out a leper. He went from being connected to the one who was connected to the sovereignty to now being one isolated because of his greed.
Whoa.
Isolated, carrying an incurable disease. Some of us have seen change, not because God doesn't desire better from you, but there has been some illegitimate exchanges that has caused you to change or caused you to lose who you were in God. Here's the worst part. It says, the pronouncement is, it will cling to you and your descendants forever. This is why we have to be careful of how we operate. Because the church, the modern church, would have us believe that as long as we continue to serve the Lord, once we say yes, it's always yes, no. You can serve the Lord and do something, cause the Lord to cut his connection with you.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Yes, sir. Because Gehazi went from a connected servant to an exiled individual with an incurable disease.
Jesus.
And it ran down through his descendants.
Yes, Lord. My God.
People of God, we have to be careful that we don't allow anything to cause us to seek things illegitimately and cause us to forfeit what God has. And there are some things right now, and I'm going to take my seat, that we have been dealing with as descendants of some of our predecessors. There are some things that have been clinging to us. Because some of our parents, grandparents, other family members have done illegitimately and caused generations of trouble. And we wonder why it's so hard for us to get rid of some stuff. Because it's clinging. And God, I've been praying, and God, I've been asking, and God, I've been believing, and God, I felt the breakthrough, and I felt the healing, and I felt the deliverance, yet it's clinging. And some of us, God has revealed to us this generational. But here's what I love about God. Unlike Gehazi, we don't have to carry it forever. It does not have to exist forever. It does not have to cling to our bloodlines forever. We have the power of the living God. We have the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that has the ability to destroy everything that's been clinging to us in our generations. We have the power of the blood of Jesus to destroy those sicknesses. We have the power of the blood of Jesus to destroy those sexual perversions. We have the power of the blood of Jesus to destroy that pride. The power of the blood of Jesus to destroy the greed, the power of the blood of Jesus to destroy that mindset, the power of the blood of Jesus to destroy that generational curse. We have the power, but I hear the Lord, the Spirit of the living Lord saying, there are some possessions that are still in our homes. There are some possessions that are still in our lives. There are some possessions that we got to get rid of. And today is a day for us to dig up those things that we have stored, that we gained illegitimately, that are causing hindrances and blockages and bondages and yokes in our lives that are causing us not to be in alignment with the will of God. It's time to utterly destroy those things, those mindsets, those ways, those characteristics, those relationships, those situations. God is saying, I never ordained for you to get it. And the illegitimacy of that thing is still in your life. And until you rebuke it, and until you remove it, and until you turn from it, you're going to continue to see the manifestation of the evidence of illegitimate things in your life. But the Father has come on this morning to deliver us from the presence of every illegitimate emotion, every illegitimate connection, every illegitimate curse, every illegitimate generational issue, every illegitimate sin that has been bonding you. God is saying, this is your day of release, because unlike Gehazi, we got the blood of Jesus. And it don't have to cling to you. It don't have to cling to you. It don't have to cling to you. And if some of us, to be honest, we cling into it too, because we've been so comfortable with his presence for so long, we don't know how to let it go. But God is saying, get rid of those cheap possessions, because there's more. There's more. God has so much more for you. He has so much more that he wants to do in this season. He has so much more that he wants to release. But God won't release what you need to receive as long as you're holding on to illegitimate things. It's not about what you deserve. It's not about what you were owed. It's not about retribution. It's not about trying to clean things up. God is saying, yeah, you may have did that in the past, but this is the season where I'm trying to show you who I am now. And I want you to receive what I have for you now. So whatever that illegitimate thing is, give it up. That way, give it up. That mindset, give it up. That fear, give it up. That doubt, give it up. That insecurity, give it up. That connection, give it up. That desire, give it up. Because God desires to do a divine exchange in your life. Let the lesson of Naaman's conviction supersede the conniving consequences of Gehazi. Don't be a Gehazi. And even Naaman struggled to be obedient with the instructions. He finally get it together. And I hope that frees somebody. Because sometimes we beat ourselves up about how long it took me to get here. Can I tell you, I've done that. And if I could be honest, I do that from time to time. Especially in this season with some of the stuff God is saying, I'm like, nah, God. Nah, God. Because you know some stuff I still struggle with. And you know how long it took me to get to this place in Serena? God was like, that's all right, dog. I know how long it took you.
Acceleration.
But he still said what he said.
He said what he said.
And he's doing a new thing in this season. So even if you do act like Naaman and you don't do it immediately, when you do get it together, walk in the conviction and return to the Lord. And refuse to be a conniver or else you will deal with the consequences.